We're doing Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Samech Zayin. And the Sefer Amidot was focusing on the Pasuk, Odecha, I will give you thanks, Hashem, al kinoraot nifleti, over the amazing, extraordinary things I've been witness to. And he says, Nichlal odin yan yakar v'nisgav. And this verse is another phenomenal concept. Ki misibat chasdo hagadol yitbarach, that his great abundance of kindness caused, asher gavar al ha'adam, his kindness, so to speak, overpowers us, and he'elin vehitzpin mimenu hamora v'apachad hagadol, he hid from us the tremendous awe and fear, kefi shu ra'uy liyot v'teva, the way nature would expect. If you think about it, we live in this paradox. We say we believe in God. We're going to stand in Rosh Hashanah and declare Him King. We're going to say, today you decide who's going to live and who's going to die. And we discuss all these phenomenal concepts. And he discussed earlier that we live this contradiction. We say things, and deep down inside, we're not exactly connected with what we say. And now he's giving us another insight into that difficulty that we have connecting with the concepts that we ourselves say. Here we are approaching the Day of Judgment. I get an email from an alumni of ours. His father's name is posted on the bulletin board. His father, they discovered a big lump. They took it out. They don't know if it's malignant. They don't know if it's not malignant. Some of you know him, and I don't know if he wants us to say who he is, even though he sent out a mass email, but I don't know, so I don't want to say. And you look at it, and you daven for the guy's father, and if you think about it for a minute, why is he any different than anyone else? We're all standing before Judgment Day. We're all standing before a day where it will be decided whether we will live out the next year or not. We say it, we can speak about it, but we don't feel it. And our whole attitude in, as far as Rosh Hashanah, is reflective of the fact that we're working from outward in. You know, we're trying to affect ourselves to actually feel it. It's as though we were trying to convince ourselves. So the Sefer Amidot says that one of the acts of kindness that Hashem did for us is that the tremendous awe and fear that should naturally be there were concealed by God. Hashem purposely concealed them. Uchvar amru, and our sages already said, Akavya ben Mahalalel omer, Akavya ben Mahalalel says, Istakel b'shlosha dvarim en ataba lidei avira. Take note of three things. He's telling us something that should be thought about all the time, and yet he's saying no. If you take note of it, you won't come to sin. Dama'ayin bata ulana ta'olech v'lipnemi ata'atid v'tendin v'cheshbon. Take note of where you're coming from, where you're going to, and before whom you're going to give judgment. When in truth, why do I have to think about death? If I think about the honor of God, the mere fact that I'm His creature and I'm standing here on earth, I should really have honor of Him without the fear of death. Now, if you really respect someone, it doesn't have to be because of fear of punishment. You value that person. There should be respect. At yamalachim ibne godla sagatam pachad Hashem adar gono nimshach mizat achayot ne'al dinur. Our sages say the angels, because they have such great perception of what it is to have awe of God, their sweat forms a river of fire. That's In Chazal, we have this concept of Nehal Dinu, a river of fire. And that river of fire, our sages tell us, comes from the sweat of the angels who perceive the honor of God. But the human being couldn't stay alive if he really perceived it. That's the kindness that God did with us. And one of the wonders of creation is that that we can live, and we can live our lives, and we don't give any recognition to God's existence or what we owe Him. ואין המורה אצלו כפי שהוא היה להיות בטבע, רק ניתנה לבחירה. And the awe of God is not the way nature would have it, but rather God left it up to our free will. Meaning it's a little different than what we'd think. He's saying if we really perceived God, then we'd be frozen. We wouldn't be able to live. So the first thing God did was that the exact opposite of nature is that God concealed his existence. You could grow up and look around, you could do whatever you want and ignore God. And then it's left to our free will to put God back into our lives. That's the exact opposite of where we think the nature would have it. Yes? I think the person who got closest was Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He got the closest look. B'yesh b'yad ha'adam, and it is within the human being's reach, לקחת ממנה כפי אשר תמצא ידו וכפי אשר יוכל שאת. It is within our capacity, and the Magid Midovna says a very powerful point here. He says, to take what you can find and take as much as you can handle. You guys hear what he's hinting to? A person can sometimes take more than he can handle. And a person can sometimes be frozen. He could suddenly say, wait a second. And look introspectively and find himself imperfect in everything, and then he's frozen in one space. He cannot move forward. And so the Magid Midovna says you have to take a balance. Take what you could find and what you can handle. וכל אשר רבה להשכיל לדעת ולסבול או להירא תגדל יראתו. As you develop, as you know more and you can handle more, then you will, in line with that, you will have more awe of God. וזהו עוד אחד כי נראות נפלאתי. And that is another understanding in what King David said, I thank you, Hashem, because I have given testimony to your awesome might. But I've given testimony. I've been given the capacity to choose how much of it I can live with. So to speak, we have a choice, how much we put God in our lives, and that's a healthy choice. He's giving us a totally different viewpoint on it. He's saying, if you had to be born in the shadow of God, you wouldn't be able to function. The angels are sweating fire. So what would we do? So we have to grow. So then, we want to be God-fearing person. We wear a yarmulke, yarei me'eloka, I'm fearful of God. But we're constantly working. And he's really answering a question that we might have. Why does God make it so hard to see him? He's been describing how it's so simple, but at the same time that it's so simple, he also described the contradictions we constantly live with. We say we believe one way, but do we really live that way? And here he's given us another answer where we could be more whole with ourselves. Where he's telling us, well, part of living a normal life is that you have to be, so to speak, out of God's shadow at some level. Because if you really perceived God, then you wouldn't be able to function. So as you grow, you can perceive more. And then your actions are more reflective of what you perceive. And it's a growing process. You guys with me? Mm-hmm. And I think, in part, this also answers one of the questions that people often have when they do tshuva. They say, but if I really analyze, everything I do isn't right. Well, who said you should analyze so much? Maybe that's part of the answer. Start going on the path. As you grow, you have capacity to being closer, to understanding more, to perfecting better. But not to jump at once. He says, even when it comes to the recognition of God in this world, to the awe of God, we were given the choice how much we will put God in our life. God made us work it backwards. Meaning we would think you're born, you see the sun, you see the moon, you see God. No, God made it the other way around. You see the sun, you see the moon, you don't see God. Now you have a choice. How much are you going to see him? How much are you going to recognize him? How much are you going to make him a part of your life? And within that choice, it's your responsibility to incorporate it as much as you can handle. And that, I think, he says it in one line, as we've seen all the time. He keeps throwing these amazing ideas in one line. So now we have to digest that thought. And that brings us to the conclusion of the sixth chapter.